Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Tribal Wisdom by Bridal Tribe. I am your host, Cynthia Williamston. And happy Wedding Wednesday. We are so happy to be here today, and we're happy to have you listening to the show and sending in all your messages of encouragement from everyone. I hope that everyone is enjoying this cooler weather. I have to admit that I am not. I was not ready for the summer to leave, but yet and still, hey, we got to deal with it. But at least we get to pull out some of our favorite fall fashions, and you know, it's a slight warning to get ready for winter time. But nevertheless, we are here, we are happy, we are healthy. At least I hope that all of you are healthy and doing well. And we're going to be grateful for that. Tonight, I have to say that it's going to be a fun show. We are talking with a wonderful guest about, actually, she's the co-founder of the Couples TV show, Miss Cheryl Clark. And we are going to be talking about the secrets to attaining an A-plus relationship. I think this is going to be a fantastic show. I hope that everyone will be listening in. I hope that you will call in. If you are listening via the internet and you would like to call in and you have a question or a comment, please do not hesitate. Dial the number 347-996-3160. Press the number 1 to let me know that you would like to chime in with us. Or, of course, you could just listen in to the conversation. Either way, I am not even going to wait. I would like to bring Cheryl right on in and have her introduce herself to you so that we can get the conversation started. Cheryl, are you there?
I am here. I'm here. Blessed and highly favored.
How are you tonight?
I'm wonderful. I'm wonderful. How are you, Cynthia?
Fine, thank you. Why don't you tell other listeners a little bit about yourself?
Oh, it's my pleasure. My name is Cheryl Clark, as Cynthia has introduced me so well. Mm-hmm. I am a marriage and family therapist, mm-hmm. and I have co-founded the Couples TV show just recently, just blasted out, and we just did it. We just did our launch on this Monday, so we're excited mm-hmm. about that with mm-hmm. myself and my husband, Gregory. Mm-hmm. And it's just a passion of ours that we have come together to basically mentor marriages and relationships. And because we've been married for so long, and since 1995, mm-hmm. and we have 6 children in our belt, so everybody has to tell.
Back up, say it again. Back up, because I know somebody's like, what? Back up, say it again, nice and slow. You have how
Absolutely.
Many children?
We have 6 children. We have 4 girls and 2 boys. Mm-hmm. And, yes, the individual births, I should say that. And, yes, I did have them all.
Thank you. Because that was my next thing. I was going to say, you need to tell them, because they probably think that somebody dropped them off at your house.
No, absolutely not.
Y'all, and I can attest, because I know Cheryl, she birthed those children, okay?
Absolutely. absolutely. That's the question people always ask, how do you do it? Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have been approached by so many people, how do you do that? You have 6 kids, you went back to school, you did this, you did that. And so I think that's why we started the Couples TV show, to give a platform mm-hmm. for people to be mentored, because mentorship is something that is an art that's been lost, that mm-hmm. we need to find, that, you know, to have, you know, when, and any good CEO, any good leadership, anybody had a mentor to if they're successful in life, should have some type of mentor in going to do the next step. So mm-hmm. I think marriage should have a mentor. If you're doing it well, you're doing this great job, why not join with another couple and show them the things that the tools that they may not have to obtain a great marriage and relationship.
I love that so much, because that is precisely what Tribal Wisdom is all about really bringing in individuals who have some wisdom to share, who don't mm-hmm. mind sharing their wisdom, who actually have that experience underneath their belts, and are willing to really help the next generation truly create a wonderful and positive marriage legacy in their family line. So I'm so
Absolutely.
Glad, so happy that you brought up mentorship the first thing right out of the gate on the show.
Absolutely.
Now,
we're about the three M's, the model, motivator, and the mentor. That's what we're about.
Yes, the model, the motivator, mm-hmm. and the mentor. You don't have to write that down because I'm, you know, because
Go
when
ahead.
I do my little tribal wizards, I'm going to be popping that right in there. The model, the motivator,
Absolutely.
And the mentor. I love it. I love it. Now,
mm-hmm.
you are a marriage counselor.
Yes, a marriage and family therapist.
Thank you.
Yes, this is different. It is different. So I will say,
mm-hmm.
a marriage and family therapist is a person that is trained in different models of therapy to
mm-hmm.
deal with different issues. So we can have do an individual session, a couple session, a family session. So we're trained to deal with the family.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And I think that is so important for marriage because, it's the natural succession most times when you get married and you start a family, and then sometimes
mm-hmm.
there are people that should be there to kind of mentor you through that, and everyone doesn't always have someone. Sometimes, you know, we lose our parents early or for
Absolutely.
One reason or another. There's that missing element when you begin to start your own family. So it's good that you talked about the difference between what it is that you do and that you also can step in and mentor a family.
Yes, absolutely. And I do that in the clinic, I would say. I'm a therapist. However, when I step out of the clinic, I can be a therapist. However, myself and my husband would like to be a mentor for experience that we have. Yes, I have the clinical experience of being a marriage and family therapist, but what is awesome about this is that I also have the loads of experience of being a mom,
mm-hmm.
being a daughter,
mm-hmm.
being a wife,
mm-hmm.
just being a woman.
Girl,
you're
going to make me stand up and start clapping in a second.
those issues that have come mm-hmm. about, and along with my clinical aspect of learning,
mm-hmm.
I have learned how to mesh those things together in
mm-hmm.
order to find having an A-plus marriage, having a healthy relationship.
Because
mm-hmm. a relationship is not just the marriage, it's the relationships of all around us that
right.
we need to look at.
The roles that we
need
play.
To look at.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We had a wonderful discussion a few weeks ago with the Lethe Florence Foundation about
mm-hmm.
Managing your roles within your family. And, I mean, you just broke it all down. You're a daughter, you're a wife, you're a mother, you're a friend. You know, you're all of these different
mm-hmm.
things. And it takes a lot of, like you say, modeling and mentoring to try to maintain a healthy balance of these roles so that you don't get overwhelmed.
Absolutely. Healthy boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we don't have healthy boundaries within our lives, then that's when we become enmeshed, and there's a lot of systems that we need to get in place first in order for us to function in a healthy setting. I will say, because
mm-hmm.
there's no perfect relationship, but there is a healthy relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So we can strive for that.
Now, if y'all didn't know, Cheryl and I know each other. Cheryl, I don't even know if Cheryl remembers how we met. We met at church, and I was visiting the church, and I was trying to look around and see which auxiliary I wanted to be a part of, and she kindly bullied me into children's church. I don't think that she remembers. I was like, well, I just got here. You were like, that's all right. Come on in. You can come right here and do that. I was like, but wait, you know.
I didn't bully you. I was putting you right into purpose, and look at you now.
I'm saying, you know what? All right, you call it what you want. I still got the marks on my back.
You're funny. It's amazing.
Yes, it's amazing, and we've come so far, and I'm so glad
Absolutely.
to have been able to taking that journey with Cheryl, and that we're here now, still mm-hmm. talking and having a good time, and you know,
absolutely.
And absolutely. So let's get in it. Let's get into it. Now, you kind of already basically gave me a definition of an A-plus relationship when you said that, you know, it's about balancing all of those different roles. Talk to me a little bit more about what it means to have an A-plus relationship before we get into all of those other things.
To have an A-plus relationship, there's, as being a marriage and family therapist, I have, I was doing my internship, it became very paramount for me to see an identifying thread that came through with my clients, even if it was an individual or a couple or whatever the case may be, is that we have things that are I have this thing with the A plus because it's the A words. I'm just playing on words. It's about A words,
mm-hmm.
the letter A words.
Mm-hmm.
That three challenging things that usually came up that pollutes our relationships, and if we don't recognize them or address them, they can pollute every relationship in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And those
mm-hmm.
three words of the A's was some are dealing with abandonment,
mm-hmm.
abuse,
mm-hmm.
or addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it's not about that you have all these things or something happened to you with all these things that we don't necessarily have to have all of them, but
mm-hmm.
one or two things in our relationship can pollute our relationship, meaning that it can pollute a lasting relationship with our spouse, our children, and our friends.
Mm-hmm.
Unconsciously. It
mm-hmm.
can unconsciously do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we're going to be talking about tonight, about healing, because if we're not whole,
mm-hmm.
we're not a whole individual going into a relationship,
mm-hmm.
it can spill into that. It can
what
spill
can
into
spill
our
into
relationship.
That? Yeah, let's say that.
Pardon?
I said, no, you're on track. I said, let's definitely say that if you are not a whole person going
mm-hmm.
into a relationship,
mm-hmm.
these particular issues can spill over, and what is the outcome?
Well, and that's what I'm going to get into. I'm going to
mm.
tell you a personal story about me. I was not physically abused, but I was emotionally abused by my stepfather.
Mm-hmm.
Every single day I was called stupid.
Mm.
Every single day I was called stupid. Hey, stupid, come here. Hey, stupid, do this. Hey, stupid, hey, stupid, hey, stupid.
Mm-hmm.
When I came, that just breaks down a your child's self-esteem. If you call them stupid every
mm-hmm.
single day,
mm-hmm.
and no one else is telling you that you're smart. I was unconsciously carrying that into my marriage with my husband.
Mm-hmm.
That it was so much that when my husband would say the word stupid, I would just get in a rage.
Wow.
It wasn't at him. It was at the wounds that weren't healed from my childhood.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't whole going into my marriage. I was not a whole individual.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, and therefore I was hurting my marriage because I didn't have the tools to be a wife. I didn't have the tools.
Okay.
What's the matter, Cynthia?
No, you know why? Because, everything that you're saying is so powerful. And,
mm-hmm.
and I mean, because it kind of branches off into two separate things, and I'm trying to figure out which way to go with it, because you're talking about being a whole individual, and then you're also talking about having the right tools. So it's
absolutely.
Like, you know, I have like, three questions where I can go because you've already said so
okay.
much.
Yeah, it is a lot. It is a
mm-hmm.
lot. That's why the three A's, how do you think I feel as a therapist coming and hearing the underlining abuse or, because when you're abused emotionally and physically, people think because you don't see the wounds of a physical abuse,
mm-hmm.
it's not abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And it is abuse. I was emotionally abused. Do I forgive him? Absolutely, to this day. I am a whole individual today.
Mm-hmm.
But it took me years. It took me years to get to that point. And that's a whole nother show of how to
forgive. Right. That's why I'm like,
that's a whole show.
I'm all over the place in my head, and this normally doesn't happen because I'm like, ooh, I can say this and I can ask that. You know, there's just so much to say about, like I said, being a whole individual and, now, and just everything that you said, but now you've touched on something that I'd like to open up. Let's really kind of address the fact that sometimes you don't see the scars, but sometimes you do, because you said you don't see the scars that someone else has left on a person. And although I do believe that sometimes you do, just based on the way that a person treats themselves.
Absolutely. But sometimes you can visually see it, the other, but that person cannot see it. You understand? The scars may be there, and they may be visible to you, but it's not visible to that person when they look into the mirror. It's not visible. Because unconsciously, until it's addressed, whether it be in therapy or whether it be a mentor or whether it be someone, counselor, a spiritual counselor, or someone that's able to, you know, identify that, and maybe someone has gotten to the end of themselves and say, I'm ready to now submit to say, I need help. Because my relationships are not working. My relationships are not working. There's something going on. There's when I know for a fact that I was a yeller. I just screamed. I was just yelling for no reason at all. It was a reason. It was a reason because I was not whole. I was not complete.
So, you know, the process of identifying, which is what the therapy is all about, the process of identifying the areas where you could say you're not whole or at least you're scarred, when you decide, or let's say, you know, a person decides that they finally got into a place where they are going to seek help. How do you go about identifying and helping them to identify the issue of abandonment, the issue of abuse, or the issue of addiction? Because I know when we say addiction, we're not necessarily talking about users of drugs or anything like that. There are so many different types of addictions, from food, you know, to just rage addiction, just all kinds of things. So when we talk about identifying one of the A's in order to get to the A plus, what is the process? What can a person do?
Okay, so the first thing is that when we come to, when we're in a relationship, let's deal with, because there's a whole lot of things that we can touch on. But when we're going to deal with relationship with a spouse. Now, when you're in a relationship with a spouse and you are relationship, we're in a ship, okay? And let's visualize the ship. Okay, so when we're in the ship, we're going, say we're in this large ship, me and your spouse, and you don't have a life jacket in the ship. And you see an iceberg. You can see it. Close your eyes. You can see the iceberg. You see the iceberg. You're in the ship. You don't have a life jacket. And you're going to the top. You're going towards the iceberg. But if you ever notice about an iceberg, is that an iceberg is much larger on the bottom than it is on the top. And when we start to look at the bottom of the iceberg, there's things of shame, anger, disappointment, depression, criticism, unreliable, neglect. All these negative traits starts coming back from experience from childhood that learned behaviors that we've learned to do as protection. We put up those things as protection. And the screaming that I used to do was protection. I'm gonna protect me before you hurt me with your words. That was how I identified. Something isn't right. He may not be he's not knowing that this is a trigger for me.
Right.
And I'm blaming him for not knowing that. How unfair is that? How and that's one thing we can identify is what when we start to always argue, or there's always going in. Some people don't argue. I argue, but I used to argue so much, and then some people go in. They have to know what their we got to identify what their triggers are.
Right.
If there's even something that's going on.
Okay.
Subconsciously.
Okay. So no, that's good. And I'm you know, like I said, I like to write this stuff down because I usually create a tribal wisdom and share it with everyone a little later on. That you know, when you find yourself in a marriage with someone who is behaving as an abused person, you need to identify a trigger or their triggers.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Because when we sometimes when we're so close to an individual and we are so close to the situation, we can't see it. But like you just said, you could sit back and say, oh, wait a minute, this is going on with this person. I can see it clearly. And they can't see a thing. They can't see a thing. The point is, you may not be able to help them until they have come to the fact that there is an issue. And that's in with the therapy, we break it down because we don't bring anything in the room that isn't already present. Because we meet them where they are. We meet the client where they are. I can't tell you what you are. You have to come to the process and go through the process because the process is what's going to get you through to the next relationship, the next relationship, and the next relationship. If I
right.
do the work for you, it's not a process.
Okay. Okay. Now, once again, you know, like I said, I like to – people tell me that I repeat it, but I do it on purpose because, you know, for me, it's a powerful thing to hear someone say – you know, we don't bring anything into the room that isn't already there. So that is a pretty powerful statement in itself.
Yes.
And just to pull back a little bit and go back to the triggers. Now, for anyone who's listening, the triggers can be what? The trigger can be a word. It can be
absolutely. It can be a gesture.
Emotion.
It can be
Yeah.
It could be anything because my story doesn't look like your story, Cynthia. I'm sure
right.
you have a totally different story than my story. But my story is what made me Cheryl.
Right.
It's what made me Cheryl. It's what and I have to now go in deeper when I can find myself hurting someone else unbeknownst to me and then don't have any remorse or anything about it, and that's when you need to do a self-check. And we could do self-checks. Have I hurt anybody today with my words, with my gestures, with what am I doing? And that's how you can self-check yourself and see, do you have any triggers in your relationship? Somebody maybe wants let's take a bill, for instance. Oh, say a parent never, ever, ever paid the bill. And the lights were turned off. And then you get into a relationship and you have a woman or a man that doesn't, I won't say a man, in a relationship, or and you get in this and your husband or spouse is responsible for the light bill and he doesn't pay it. But that could be a complete trigger for you that you can either, grounds for divorce, grounds to leave him. But it wasn't that he didn't pay the bill. He could have forgot. The point is, it brought you back to a point of your life where you felt
unsafe.
Yes, absolutely.
Unsafe. I love
absolutely.
It. I love it. You know why? Because I've been, you know, with all my guests that come on, like another reason why Tribal Wisdom was started is because a lot of people that I knew, or rather know, were getting married and separated within months or within a year or within 2 years. And they were together for a long time, and I couldn't believe, you know, I was like, wait, I really do not understand what, you know, how does this happen? How does a marriage happen, and then how does it fall apart in the span of 24 months? And what you're letting me know is, because, you know, I was just thinking that sometimes they just don't want to work it out, or, you know, somebody didn't tell the truth about something. It never really dawned on me that there could be triggers in place that makes them feel unsafe, that has nothing to do with the spouse, but just, you know,
nothing.
The regular, you know, once you begin to live together, because sometimes, you know, these individuals live together and sometimes they didn't. But the fact that a trigger could come in and make you feel like, you know what, I'm done after 6 months is something I did not even consider or think of. So you are giving me new information today.
That's great. That's absolutely that's absolutely wonderful. And
yeah.
and that's the point is I want to bring back this I want to pinpoint something for you is that I didn't know this either until I was in my internship. All the books I read, everything I've learned, until you get into people and see clients and to understand that there is a continuous thing of A's going on that we are not being whole as an individual. How could you possibly give your best self to someone if you don't know who you are?
This is good stuff. So now I have a question because I think that people may mistake or not know the difference between a trigger and an instinct.
Okay.
Can we kind of give a slight breakdown between a trigger and an instinct? Because I know there's some people where, you know, they were in an abusive relationship and then they have an instinct about a person just by the way they move. You know, they get into a relationship with someone and then just by certain things they have an instinct that this person is an abuser and they leave. And I'm okay with that. I've seen that happen and they're normally right.
Okay.
But how is it that you can kind of discern the difference between instinct and trigger? Is that something that I can ask?
You can ask anything you want. If I don't know, I will definitely tell you. But I do know this. What I will tell you is your instinct is something like we talk about the gut, that feeling. Like you say, everybody I believe has like this inner spirit. I believe in the higher power, spirituality, and I believe that everybody has this inner voice to tell you, this isn't right for me. This isn't going to work for me. And I think we know from the gate. Like sometime I know when I went into a relationship with my husband, before we were even husband and wife, there was something, it was a feeling I got from him that I felt safe. I felt like this is the man, like this, I felt right. You know, there's something in you that can tell you, like, oh, I don't feel right. And you still go on with you still go on with it. However, when something happens in a relationship and it triggers something in you that isn't good, the point is you have to be able to communicate that. And sometimes we do not know what the trigger is, and that's okay. But because we did not get in the relationship and tell the spouse is supposed to be someone, or your significant other is supposed to be someone that you can open up to wholeheartedly, that you can be able to now tell them, this is supposed to be your best friend. My husband is my best friend. I could be able to tell him anything that happened to me. He knows about my stepfather saying stupid to me. And he's very sensitive to that. And when he wasn't, he knew that that was something that you cannot cross with me. But if someone said, like my children know, do not say stupid in this house. They know. They can't, there's no negative words. Everybody knows. There's anything negative, you do not say. Those are my children. Why say negative things to your spouse and everything? Because of the things that have happened to us, my thing was, I'm going to hurt you before you hurt me.
Right.
So that was my thing. That was my triggers. But your trigger could be, to identify that trigger is, what is it that that comes for you that you retract, or you burst out in an argument, or you get violent, or you leave. And things that we do trigger things that are being said for us. Like for instance, if there was a child that grew up in that a parent had an addiction, whatever it was. It doesn't really matter what the addiction was. But a lot of times when people are addicted to some type of alcohol, substance abuse, or gambling, whatever it is, that is a silent victim. Those children are silently being victimized. because they're exposed to the addiction, mm-hmm. and they are not allowed to be expressing their authentic self because they hide behind the fiction that creates they create a whole little something about, you know, their family, because with a lot of addiction, it's a lot of secrecy in the family.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times they grow up with this protection I'm going to have this fallacy of what's happening over there, but that's really not happening. It's a real emotional disconnect a lot of time, and untrustworthy and secretive and not able to be their genuine self, and it's it's unconscious.
You know what?
It's not for all, but it's unconscious.
Right. You brought up another very important thing, the word secrecy and mm-hmm. the role that it plays with the challenging A words, with abandonment, abuse, and addiction. How does secrecy affect someone who is dealing with one of the three challenging A words?
Oh. Wow. That is hard.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you are... See, childhood is something that is a tape recorder. It's like we play back all these things that may happen, and unconsciously the secrets that we hold, like I can't tell him this, I can't tell her that. Oh, mm-hmm. I'm not going to say that. Oh, I'm not going to say this, and I can't say this.
Well,
and,
you know what?
No, I can't do this.
Let's talk about.
Because I'm going to get hurt.
Mm-hmm. Right. Where do you find the strength to communicate a secret when it comes to your spouse? Where do you
mm-hmm.
find the strength to communicate a secret so that you can really become a whole person within your relationship? Not that the relationship should make you whole,
mm-hmm.
but if you're already in a marriage
mm-hmm.
and you're still holding on to these particular secrets, you know, what are the steps that a person can take? Because I know, you know, a lot of people refuse to go to counseling.
Yes.
They know they need help. They know that they're broken in a place. They know that they're bruised in a place. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, still in all, they refuse to go and get any kind of counseling or what kind of help can they turn to in order to gain the strength to release, if not tell the secret, release the secret.
And that's a very good point. A lot of, I would say, African-Americans, and they have something a lot. It's starting to get a little better that we're taboo about therapy. However, those who are still kind of taboo about therapy, go to a third. That's what the mentor, that's why we created this mentorship, because sometimes what you're not able to tell to your husband or spouse, you can tell to your mentor, because your mentor is not your friend.
Mm-hmm.
Your mentor, your pastor is not your friend. It's someone that can be able to tell you, to help you and be a mediator within that space, and to show you and to help you heal yourself before you're able to tell that. Because maybe you're at a place that you can't even verbalize it
mm-hmm.
yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You're at maybe you're at that place that you're so wounded that you're not able to tell someone, this is what happened to me 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you need that third person, that person, that proxy to come in and help you get that out. And you may not want to go to a therapist, but you can if you have a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
If you have someone that can basically be not, I wouldn't say like a girlfriend. I would not go to a friend. I would go to someone that can be a impartial person, because if the other person knows you, oh, I wouldn't tell him, girl, child, or whatever the case may be. You know how we can get kind of catty, oh, what? We need somebody with sound advice that can give you and that can guide you,
mm-hmm.
that can be a guiding force for you to be able to have a healthy relationship. Because maybe the relationship is with you and your mother
mm-hmm.
that you wanted to happen. Maybe she was an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe she did something that you are still carrying to this day. And
yeah.
you're not able to go and you're not able to be in a relationship with this person because you're still holding on to something that your mother or your father did. They said they'd be back, and they never came back. Just to being abandoned every single time. Just the lasting effects of that. You know your father lives two blocks down, but he walks by your building every week and never comes by to see you. That feeling of that. And you're always, and you're going from man to man or woman to woman because you never got that feeling of completion from that parent.
This is just awesome, awesome, awesome talk tonight, I got to say. I mean, if you can believe it, we're already 40 minutes in. If you can believe it.
Oh, wow. Wow. How amazing is that? How amazing.
I tell my guests every time that once they get on, it goes so quickly. And they go, really? Because I don't think it's going to go quickly. And, you know, I'm a little nervous. And I go, okay, but you will see. And every single time we get on, and when I say, you know, we're about 45 minutes, and they're like, what? Really?
Really? I mean, oh, my goodness. Wow. You know, we've been really talking.
We're already 40 minutes
in.
Asia, and we will, but we will. I just want to stop for a moment and tell our listeners once again that if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Cheryl Clark, co-founder of the Couples TV Show and marriage and family therapist on Tribal Wisdom. If you are on the internet and you'd like to call in, the number is 347-996-3160. Again, you can call in if you have a question or a comment, or if you just want to listen in, because chances are, as usual, the show might go over time because we're just busy, you know, chatting up. So we're gonna get back to this because it's such powerful, powerful stuff you know that you're saying, and I really believe that you're probably helping a lot of people tonight with this information.
I hope so.
Identifying the triggers, understanding the difference between the trigger and an instinct, creating the ability to communicate secrecy or the things that could be holding you down or holding you back or the things that you're holding on to, and even more so, seeking out a guiding force, whether that be a therapist, a friend, a pastor, but someone who is a guiding force or who can be a guiding force in your life to kind of get you to the point of knowing that you are whole in order to change the complete dynamic of your relationship with your spouse.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, for any relationship there is. It could be any relationship.
No, you're right. I just figured because we were really kind of talking about spouses, and I want to, you know, really kind of focus on that because, again, like that's one of the main reasons why I started this show because I really wanted to hear first some testimonies about people who are able to really work through their marriages and attain a long time happy marriage. I wanted to find out how they were doing that because I don't believe that there are any really truly new problems in the world.
Yeah. So absolutely.
So if people are splitting up and leaving so early, it's like you said, it's not that the information is not always available, but sometimes there's something that we're not seeing, and sometimes they don't have the proper tools to deal with what they brought into a relationship. And, you know, they're bringing this stuff into a relationship. This is fantastic. Fantastic.
I'm so happy you're enjoying this. But I did wanted to say, because there is some hope, so that I do want to give the listeners so that they can have changed those A's and, you know, those challenging A's. I won't say negative A's, but challenging A's into achieving an A-plus relationship. But I do want to say one thing is that both myself and my husband, because you just did a good point, is that both myself and my husband came from single-parent homes. And there's a lot of research. I did a lot of research in my undergrad about being fatherless, and we're coming from a fatherless nation, and a lot of girls and a lot of boys are being raised without the fathers in the home, like I was. And in my day, there was the TV show, The Cosby Show. That's right. Where I was, a two-parent household, and that's mm-hmm. where I remember getting from the 80s. Every Thursday, that's where I got my 30 minutes of lessons of how to be a dynamic dual couple from Cliff and Claire Huxtable. And that's where I learned how to be, that's what I referred back to, the
right.
Claire and Cliff Huxtable.
Right.
You know, that's the only
right.
thing that I saw, the television. And until I joined the church, and I was able to see other couples and stuff of that nature, but that wasn't going on in my home.
Mm-hmm.
Being
mm-hmm.
a husband and wife, no, that didn't happen in my home. So how
right.
am I going to be married? Get it? I was married at 20.
Mm-hmm.
How was I going to be married with a child and had no type of experience, no tools?
Right.
Of
right.
course I was going to be screaming and yelling.
Right, and no modeling. Right. But
no,
you know,
modeling.
You guys are such an example to people because you made it through. You know what I mean? The level of commitment that you both had, because once again, it could have been a situation where he just couldn't take it anymore or you just couldn't take it anymore because of a mm-hmm. trigger, and you decided to leave. But because of your level of commitment, which is a totally other, again, show, or rather just, you know, a long conversation about the word commitment,
you guys
were able to really kind of make it through and become an example and share, you know, which is, you know, it's the legacy. Once again, it's the mentorship and it's the legacy that you're creating in order to give new couples, newlyweds, or just children who are growing up in this world a chance to see that it can happen, you know.
It can happen. It can
yeah.
happen. It is possible.
Right. Now, you also touched on something else, because I like, a lot of times when I'm speaking to individuals or couples and they talk about a fatherless nation or a fatherless home, I like to say, because my personal story is I had a two-parent home. I had my mother and my father in my home.
Mm-hmm.
But my father passed away when I was 19, and it became a fatherless home.
Absolutely.
And I think that a lot of people kind of forget that a fatherless home is not always because a father wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
There are different situations where that create a fatherless home. Sometimes there is a father in the home, but he's just not present. He's just not emotionally
absolutely.
You know, present.
It's called an absentee resident father.
Yes, yes. So that is a fatherless home. Then there's the fatherless
mm-hmm.
home where a father really is not in the home. Then there's the loss of a father through death.
Yes, through death.
Or,
and the grieving process that
yes.
has to happen.
Yes, so all the things that when it comes to dealing with a fatherless home, I just wanted to point out that there are different ways for there to be a fatherless home,
mm-hmm.
and really express the importance of a father being in the home. Because even though I was 19, I was technically, you know, an adult.
But it's still loss of a father
yeah.
that and you were technically grown. However, for
mm-hmm.
those who do lose their children at an early age,
mm-hmm.
they and a man to step into how do those girls get that love from that father?
Because mm-hmm.
that's their first teacher.
Yeah.
How do they learn from their fathers what to look for in a spouse?
Yeah.
And
if you're not
seeing that modeling in your
mm-hmm.
home, where are you going to see it at? They're
right.
going to go to TV. If
yep.
they don't have anything else, if the parent is not and have some type of mentoring program that the child is in, or that can get a father, or that can there be a big brother or something along those lines, to have that.
Yeah.
To have
that. Well, you know
that.
What? Let's make that connection with a positive parent in the home. Because I don't want to just
mm-hmm.
say father. It could be mother, too. If you lose your mother early, it makes a certain impact. If you lose your father early,
absolutely.
By whatever means, it makes an impact. Let's connect the loss of the father or fatherlessness to the positive A, to, you know, achieving that positive A. How, you know, other than, of course, extended family, extended community stepping in to help out,
okay.
How do we get there? How do we get from dealing with that loss, that scar, that bruise, that abandonment to get to the positive A's? And first, why don't we just tell me what those positive A's are?
Okay. The number one is be your authentic self.
Mm-hmm.
Being your authentic self. And the first key to doing that is acceptance. We have to learn to accept ourselves for who we are. Start taking off the mask of who we are. And that's the only way that we're able to accept ourselves and then to be able to accept our spouse for who they are, what
mm-hmm.
they are. And we need to inform our spouse, talk to our spouse.
Mm-hmm.
In the relationship, that you know, that it's best to inform your spouse of what happened, the feelings, the issues. And if you don't feel, and the point is, if you don't feel safe with your spouse or your individual, you have to now check yourself, what is happening with me that I don't feel safe with my spouse
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
my partner? Because it could have been a trigger that came up that's unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, do I ask your question? Do I accept myself?
Mm-hmm.
Do I accept myself?
Because well, do you,
you
know yourself,
accept
actually?
Someone. Yes. Do I know myself? Do I accept myself? And mm-hmm. because that's the only way you're going to be able to accept your partner.
Mm-hmm.
Because then when you accept yourself, then you're providing a space for your partner to now be a supportive aspect for you. Because if you're able to now learn to listen to him and listen
mm-hmm.
to her and get an understanding of their fears and their behaviors, it can run for a smoother relationship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? The question here, because like I said, I mean, we can just touch on so many things in this one conversation. I've also seen where even though you could be getting to know excuse me, the triggers and all the different things about your spouse, sometimes it can take a long time before.
Oh, yes, that's the process.
You know, that process is something else.
That process is something else. The process is that's the time. That's the time in between. My husband and I have been married for 18 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's been rough. It's been rough. It's been times where we're sometimes that we've slept in separate beds.
Mm-hmm.
There's been times that we've said things that we are not proud of because that's the only way we knew. But when you learn something new, then you're accountable for what you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if you continue to hurt those that you, because why are you hurting those that they already told you, this is when it becomes unsafe. This person told you that this is still a trigger for me. This is a sore spot for me. Like my husband knows, it was stupid for me.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's not stupid for me anymore. I've come to the fact that I understand stupid. But he's still sensitive to the fact that he does certain things that we just don't say in my house. Negative words, we just don't say. And stupid is one of the words we just don't say. It just
mm-hmm.
left scars.
Mm-hmm.
So if he comes out and says things like that, stupid, to me,
mm-hmm.
and he'll say, oh, babe, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I'm like, it's okay. I'm good. Because he's sensitive to the fact of that's a word for me that I don't like to hear, whether it's just in jest or not. Now,
mm-hmm.
he's sensitive to the fact he hurt. I know he hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's 3 days that we can go into this, too. There's definitely three ways of listening. We're listening to hear just the person here, just to listen, just to hear, you know, like, okay. And secondly, we could hear to understand. Or three, we could listen to hear to say, okay, I'm gonna. You're thinking about what your response is gonna be.
Mm-hmm.
Listening to understand is the best listening skills we can have. Listening to understand what the other person is trying to convey. So that's a big point.
No, you're right. I mean, again, like we're touching on so many important points to this whole relationship thing. And I really feel like you are ministering to a lot of people tonight when it comes to this particular issue of triggers. Because,
mm-hmm.
again, I think that it could be sometimes very obvious that some people, you know, some of the reasons that people leave a relationship. But
Yeah.
This is the first time that, at least on our show, that we're touching on this particular subject, that, you know, you need to kind of be a good listener. Ask. Don't be afraid to ask the questions. And try to look for the triggers. But more so, let's talk about having the strength to go through the process, because that process.
Yes, absolutely. And process is not easy. That process is not easy. When you have, you know, you're walking on eggshells. You know, sometimes the process, you may come out with bruises, and that's where you know that you're coming out a better person. I know that it was a storm that we went through. We went through a time, and they say, oh, if you could last the first 5 years, you could last. The point is that a relationship is, because we're always evolving as people. We should be evolving. We're changing daily. I know I am not the same 20-year-old when I got married that I am now in my 30s. When I hit 30, something clicked in me, like, no way, can't do that. Then when I started to go to school and started to read for myself, started to get more knowledge, I understood about me, because during the process of being a marriage and family therapist, we have to go through our own source of therapy, and you get to understand about you. That's why I understand that I know myself. I can say to you today at 10:21 on 9/18/2003, Cheryl is whole. Am I going to always be learning? Absolutely. Can I tell you that I am not the smartest cookie in the jar? Absolutely. Can I learn from other people? Absolutely. I can say that. I can say I have challenges with things. I can say that. I know what I do well and what I don't.
I love
and
that.
And I
because
can tell that.
That means that you have to speak your truth. You have to not just know your truth, but you have to be able to speak it.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And that's
that.
A good thing to teach your children as well as don't worry about what the other person has. Worry about what you can give. Worry about what – don't even worry about it. Just know what you have, know what God has given you, and know how you can shine.
Love it, love it.
Because you can shine in your own light. Don't try to stand in someone else's light.
Let's get back to these. We got 8 minutes left. Of course, we're gonna go over.
Okay,
like
we gotta finish up, right?
No. Yeah. I don't want you to feel rushed at all. I'm just letting you know that you see how fast that time zoomed.
That time did zoom. Let me give you the second one. We got the being authentic self and by accepting ourselves and your spouse.
Yes.
The second one was to show attention and affection. That doesn't mean just sex. That means paying attention. You know, be conscious in your relationship. Actively and physically and mentally be present. Be an active, that's going back to being an active listener. Listening to understand. Notice your wife or your husband's outfit. Little love notes, little texts. I said that today. Just give a little, a stroke of that, you know, the hair. You have a nice blouse on. Set time. Set time for each other each day. Check in with your spouse. You need to check in with them. Because their day could have, you breathed in yesterday doesn't mean that you're going to stop breathing in tomorrow.
Right. Right. This, you know what, I had a guest on just a couple of weeks ago, Pamela King. She's one of my favorite people because she's just so real and down to earth about everything when she talks about marriage, just like you're being. And what she called that was depositing into your marriage bank so that it doesn't get depleted. Yeah. So I liken that to what you're saying, where you need to check in, you know, check in and deposit into your marriage bank. You know, show your spouse some love. And it really costs you nothing to give them that 2 minutes worth of attention.
2 minutes. What is it? But for you to stop in, I mean, my husband just walked in and he stopped and gave me a kiss on my forehead. He didn't have to stop when I was talking. He just she said, "Hi, Greg."
Hello.
He came in, you know, and he just gave me a kiss on my forehead. And you know, and that's what it's about. He knows what I'm doing, but he's respecting my space. But yet, he wants to acknowledge, "I see you, babe. I see you, mm-hmm. and gave me a kiss on my forehead. And, you know, that it is what it is. And that's just acknowledging, you know, am I that sunshine when I came in the room? That's the first person he saw was me. Mm-hmm. I want to be, he's the first person when I walk in the room, I see.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
what you want. You want to feel special.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is. It's just acknowledgement, the affection, the attention, and it doesn't take much.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't.
I love it. Love it, love it, love it, love it, love it.
And let me do the last one. Let's do the last one. The third one is appreciation and say thank you and apologies. It's so simple.
Okay. And it really, is that Greg doing something back there making you laugh?
No, I'm laughing at you.
Oh,
Greg
okay.
is not. He don't want to his office.
Oh, okay. No, you're right. The fact that you said appreciation and apologies.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, we're going to have to get to the question because, and I know I'm speaking of myself, an apology never really means, I'm not married, so we're not talking about a spouse, but just in any relationship, for me, an apology never really means that I'm going to start talking to you again or that
mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily want to, to me, once you, even before you receive an apology, if I've made up my mind that that relationship is through and over,
mm-hmm.
I always act like I've already received the apology. It doesn't matter to me. It's the relationship in my mind is already repaired because it's severed.
But, the apology is not really for you.
Right.
The apology
it's
is for
the
person.
Right.
It's
right.
really for the other person because mm-hmm. you want to make sure, because all these three things, you give it out your authentic self, you want to make sure, because that apology could be phony.
Mm-hmm.
Because like you said, what inside of you, mm-hmm. Cynthia, cannot mm-hmm. say, okay, you did me wrong, and that's it, and I got you, and I understand. I got that. That won't happen to me again because that's how you just put up the hand like, I don't even want to hear your apology.
It's not even that. No. You know what
that's
it is?
That's how you
How I feel is this, because it's not even just about how I feel. It's what I've experienced and what I understand, that just because mm-hmm. a person gives you an apology doesn't necessarily mean that they have finished going through the process.
Mm-hmm.
And,
absolutely.
And so because they have not finished going through the process, it is 100% likely that they're going to do something to hurt you again or,
process.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the process. My husband did not stop saying stupid all at one day.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't.
Right.
But it was the process. Are you going to stay during that, Cynthia? Mm-hmm. Are you going to stay through another stupid? Because one day you're like, I'm so sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Because I knew it was a slip of the tongue. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't love me.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that, you know, that doesn't mean that every week I'm just going to throw away everything because he said that, my trigger word.
Right.
Because I know I'm still healing inside.
Right.
But also he's respecting the fact that he acknowledges that he said it.
Right. No. And I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. When you know someone is still going through a process and they are aware and they are trying and they're making the effort, that's
mm-hmm.
one thing. But when you know someone is apologizing just to apologize, you know what I mean?
Oh, baby. You know.
And you know.
But that's that gut.
Right. That's that instinct where it's just like, no. That means that I can love you, but I have to love you from afar because you're still not getting it. And I can't allow your process to continue. You know, I'm not going to be involved in your process at the expense of myself is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
so,
and but that's your choice, and then we all have choices.
Mm-hmm,
that is
mm-hmm.
your choice, mm-hmm. and we have a choice to stay in relationships that are toxic, and
mm-hmm.
we have choices to stay to say I'm going to leave.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And why do we keep doing the cycle? It's going right back to what triggers. Some people's triggers are, if he hits me, that means he loves me.
I know I've seen that, and that was crazy. I'm sorry, I shouldn't even use that
word.
That's
what I'm saying.
To me, that was
absolutely
crazy. I was like, are you kidding me? That the man just, you know, put his hands on you.
But that old woman, I've seen that too.
True.
I've seen the reversal. So, but the point is that what makes that person stay? Mm-hmm. And that's a trigger for them. What makes mm-hmm. it, what that maybe if when they get healed of, I don't have to be beat on to show mm-hmm. you love me.
Right.
But if you beat me, I know you love me. Mm-hmm. That's a mm-hmm. sign of someone that's wounded
mm-hmm.
and that's someone that needs help. But they can't see it.
Right.
They can't right. see it. And you can
oh.
see it just as plain as day.
Mhm, mhm. I'm having a fantastic time with this show tonight. I really am, and I'm so grateful that you came on and that you are addressing these things.
Absolutely.
No, no. It's just so much fun. So I mean, did we really touch on appreciation and apology? Let's backtrack and hit appreciation a little bit because I think we kind of just, you know, scaled right over that.
Yeah, you went right into the apology.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But for the appreciation, it's something. It's a nice thought of gratitude, of thinking of things that we're doing for our spouse, just to make sure that we're not taking the other spouse for granted. You know, just when you putting your socks in the hamper, you know, picking up your things after yourself, giving your spouse flowers, or you know, sending them some little love gesture, something of that nature, just to show I appreciate you. Because sometimes in a relationship, sometimes we get very busy with things for the day to day, and we do not appreciate our spouse just for being there. Because I always say this to my spouse, it's great to see you this morning because everybody doesn't wake up.
Right.
Everybody doesn't wake up beside their spouse.
Mm-hmm.
We have
mm-hmm.
to take every day as a blessing.
Mm.
I saw him this morning. I mm-hmm. saw her this morning. Oh, so wonderful to see you. So wonderful to see you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank
mm-hmm.
you, Lord, for this day. Grab his or her hand. Thank you. You start the day off thanking the Lord for another day.
Mm-hmm.
Takes 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
2 seconds. Give appreciation to him, her, God. First
yes.
God, appreciation to them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I saw another day because every day is not promised.
All right. All right. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've given us like tons of stuff to chew on. Talk about chewing the fat. you have given us so much spiritual food to really chew on when it comes to really taking the magnifying glass and looking at ourselves, our relationships,
yeah.
our spouses, uh-huh. and making sure that we are doing daily things to improve it, to make it better.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. I had a fantastic time with you, and I have to take the time to invite you back, of course.
Oh, my pleasure.
Please, please come back on again. I'm telling you, I had a great time. I can't wait to get the feedback on this show.
Oh, that's great. Also, maybe next time we could do something with my husband coming on to speak on the show. I mean,
tell him it's
love
mandatory.
To come on.
Yeah, no, tell him it's mandatory.
Oh, it's mandatory?
Yeah.
Absolutely,
yeah.
But that's the end I'm going to tell him.
This is the one time we're going to let him get away with it because we know he was busy. He was being dad. But next go round, it's a couple times. Tell him to show some appreciation.
Absolutely. I definitely will let him know that it's mandatory for him to show up and be heard.
Yes, please.
Absolutely. But let everybody come check us out on the Couples TV show on Facebook. We're going to be coming on every Monday at 6:30 on the Blog Talk Radio. And we're excited. We had a fun time. To talk to all the individuals out there. We were excited. Excited.
Is it 6:30 p.m. on Mondays?
6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Mm-hmm.
How long is the show?
It's 30 minutes for right now. We did the introduction, just to show everybody, you know, who we are, what we're going to be talking about. We're going to have a segment about. It's just about fun. A segment on We'll Be the Judge of That, so you can bring your issues, and we're going to be the judge of your issues.
I love it.
Going to be a fun little aspect.
It sounds fun. I might just call in as a prank just to see what's on, you know, what you say to me. I might call in and disguise
myself. Absolutely.
My voice.
You can call right in, Cynthia. We'll answer your question. I know you're a busy lady, but call right in, and we're going to we'll be the judge of that. We're going to have a little game show going on there. We're going to invite couples to come on and real-life mentoring sessions on video. We're going to have it there, and that way we're mentoring a couple right now, and mm-hmm. we're going to see how they have progression have been, you know, with their issues that they're having. So we're actually in the meat of it all. We can come to your house, you can come to the studio, you can come to our home. We're doing it up, and we're excited.
Well, you know what? Do me a favor, but you know, I know that you're on Facebook. We are Facebook friends. I want you to post that link into the event so that people can know where to find you. Is there anywhere else that they can find you? Are you on Twitter? Or, you know, let me know
where
you are.
We're on Twitter. Our mm-hmm. Twitter account is Couples TV Show.
Mm-hmm.
They can find us at the Couples TV's of Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And Facebook is www.facebook.com/thecouplesTV show.
You know, you gotta. Are we following each other on Twitter? We need to make that happen.
I don't think that we are following each other on Twitter.
We need to make that happen.
But we can make that happen in a couple of minutes. We definitely can find you on Twitter. We gotta make that happen.
Yes, and so to all our listeners, what is the Twitter handle?
The Twitter handle is www.twitter.com/CouplesTVShow.
Couples TV Show. Wonderful. And, of course, mm-hmm. you know that our Twitter is, our handle is Bridal Tribe. So when you go on Twitter, just type in the word Bridal Tribe in the search box. Type in the word Couples TV Show in the search box. You will find both of us. And go ahead and follow us. What we probably have to do is probably plan a Twitter chat. We'll put together a nice little tweet chat so we can do some stuff on Twitter as well.
Oh, very nice. Very, very nice. I'm excited about that.
Yes, yes. You know, we are well over an hour of talk, believe it or not. And it doesn't even feel like it.
Wow.
It was wonderful. I had a great time. So enjoyed you. I want to thank you for coming on.
And
having all of this wisdom. I can't wait to support your show and have my listeners support your show. And like I said, we will talk again and figure out how you're going to be back on the show, both you and Greg at the same time. And I just want to tell my listeners, of course, you know what we're about. We are a show that's about love, beauty, wedding, and marriage fun. You can find us on all social networks. We're doing big and great things and just getting ready to do bigger and greater things. And we're so happy to have you a part of our family. I'm just going to say that we had a gentleman send us in our new intro music, which right now is going to be our outro music now. I didn't get a chance to play it during the intro, but I'm going to play it during the outro. Man in a Loft Downtown, he is based out in L.A., and he provided us with our new intro and outro music. And I'm just going to go ahead and let it play, and you guys can tell me what you think, and you'll be hearing it from now on. So I want to send a special shout-out and thank you to Man in a Loft Downtown, Kwame, out there in L.A., for giving us our new intro music. We love you very much, and we'll talk with you again soon.